tough hangover I had, when I was on ABC's The Bachelorette little reality show, we went on a date to the Guinness factory. And that was a rough night. There were some cameramen that said that they saw me drink 18 Guinnesses. They play games with you on the show so bad. They'll mess with your head so bad. I was waiting my turn to get my time with Caitlin. And I'm sitting there for hours. And everybody's getting like an hour, hour and a half. And then like I finally get my time with her. And they give us like not even 10 minutes.
Jesus.
Like
on purpose?
Yeah, they like mess with you. Like if they see somebody who's got a good connection, they're like, we're going to do whatever we can
to fuck that
to
up.
Try and build up the other relationships and try and kind of mess this one up.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm saving a spot for us at the top of the factory. It's like this rotating room. You can see the whole city. She's like, I'm going to save that spot for us. And then she got me. She's like, all right, let's go. We start walking up there. The producer was like, no, sorry, you guys can't go up there. It's closed for the night. We're like, whatever. They're like, you have to sit right here. It's like, we sit there at this little table, had 10 minutes with her, go back down, sitting on this table with all the beers. I start drinking. Another guy, he goes on the date, and then he comes back 2 hours later. He's like, man, it was awesome.
I went to the rotating room
at the top of the factory.
Started so emotional drinking. Yeah.
And so I'm drinking all night, and then I get like back to the hotel, and they could tell I was upset. They're like, do you want to go see Caitlin? I'm like, yeah, I want to go see Caitlin.
Oh, God, that's
I'm like, yeah,
great combo.
Where's her room? Welcome back to In the Booth. I'm Sean Booth. We got Sam Cat in the building.
Hey, girl. Hey.
High five. What's the good word, Sam Cat?
What's the good word? The good word is that the sun is finally out in Nashville, and I've become a different person because of it.
How so?
In a good way.
How different?
I don't feel like I realize how much the sun affects me until the sun comes out. And then I'm just like more productive. I'm happier. I just get up and make shit happen. I feel like feels good.
Does feel good. Nashville's a weird place. You can go weeks without the sun.
Yes, I feel like we just got out of that slump. That's what I'm saying.
And
I
you feel it, and you feel it, and you got to get that extra vitamin D in,
yes,
the supplement. And then, I mean, right now we're kind of getting past the badness of the weather. We're into the good stuff.
I don't want to jinx us, though, because I looked at the weather before I got here, and it doesn't look promising this weekend. And I'm supposed to be going to an outdoor concert, so I will report back on if I drown or not.
Ooh, which concert?
Luke Combs.
Yeah, you're a big Luke Combs guy.
I used to work for Sony, so yeah. I feel like I have a personal connection to the people who work for him. So I just kind of like tag along with their plans.
Yeah, what do you do for work?
Well, it depends on the day.
How much time do we have?
No. Well, I'm supposed to be on tour myself, but I work for the country band Old Dominion. If you're a country music fan, you probably know them. They've written a lot of songs as well. However, if you followed any of the recent news, the lead singer, Matt Ramsey, suffered an injury on an ATV, and he had fractured his pelvis in three places.
His love bones.
His hump sticks, if you will. I can't take credit for that. Someone asked me how his hump sticks were, and after my brain came back to reality, I realized what they were talking about. But so it's kind of put a remix on my original spring plans, and I have been off the road for about a month now, and I don't know how many more weeks. It's like a week-to-week update. Obviously, we wish him well, but it's very hard to have an Old Dominion show without the biggest, you know, face, if you will, of Old Dominion, the lead singer. So.
Yeah, that's tough. So we kind of scooped Sam Cat off the streets. She was looking for a job. Oh, she had a sign. She was underneath the bridge. So now she's here. We're forcing her
Where
to
would
talk
I be without
us.
You, Sean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I can't get away from live music, apparently. So I'm just sprinkling that in, even though I don't have to be. It's just something I enjoy.
Well, there you go. Here we go. Today's a good day. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
It's vitamin D.
It's a vitamin D. We got the sun out. I got my my morning routine rocking and rolling. You got a routine over there?
It depends. Well, I mean, like we just said, I do have a weird job. I work on tour. So it depends. Life on the road is much, much different than something that would be an average routine if you work a 9-to-5 or even a job just that doesn't require you to sleep on a tour bus.
And so you were on that tour bus from city to city when you
Correct.
Travel
yeah.
and then you go into a hotel room.
No.
No. So you're sleeping there.
No.
You're
oh,
there
we're sleeping
24/7.
On the bus. It does depend on the tour and it depends on the tour dates. So like typically we'll go out on a Wednesday night and we have a show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're back in Nashville by Sunday. So you either fly to the destination and then the bus picks you up at the airport or you bus from Mount Juliet is our bus call. And yeah, it's our home. It's our, we work, play, eat, sleep, all of the things together, very tight quarters. 8-foot by 45-foot bus. So better be cleanly.
Yeah, that's
tough. Take care of your hygiene.
I feel like we had a conversation about this because I once a year go on a tour bus with some buddies.
Yes.
We go down south and we do a tactical challenge for the Special Forces, which is awesome, with the Green Berets. But I get to go on the bus. It's like me, Chuck Wicks, Decker. Last year was Lee Bryce, the Johnsons, the East. So it's a good old time
For 48 hours.
For 48 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a blast, but I don't know if I could do it all day, every day for months at a time.
I do have to say you either have it to tour or you do not. I don't know that it's something you can learn. I do think it's something you can get better at. Like I have just, I don't know. And I feel like as a woman that adds a whole nother layer of just ridiculousness on top of it, but it's just, it's not for the faint of heart by any means. I do enjoy it. I do like the lifestyle of being on the go, but you do have to adjust and just kind of like go with the flow. And you are living with, you know, when you start a tour, if you haven't been out on the tour before, it's essentially strangers that you're sharing a very intimate space with. You know, you sleep literally right on top of one another. There's like three bunks in each little area. So not a lot of room for jazzercising, but you make it work.
Yeah. Or hump sticks.
Or hump sticks.
Not a lot of room for that.
Yeah. You can't really recover those hump sticks. I mean, a pelvis is, it hurts to walk, to talk, to think, to breathe. And you need to do all of those things when you're performing to thousands of fans. So.
Yeah. So what is his recovery like right now? He's just sitting down, can't move. It's not like you can put your pelvis in a cast.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of rest. Yeah. So as someone who is also probably used to being on the road, even more so than myself, I'm sure he's going a little stir crazy, but so far we've gotten positive reviews and the fact that his healing is going well. So I have faith that we will be back out in no time and I'm excited.
Hopefully he's back out there soon.
Yeah.
You're back out there soon.
Yeah. See you later.
Until then, you're stuck with me.
That's
sorry
okay.
about it. But I did take a cold shower this morning. If
congrats
you're wondering.
To you, buddy. You know what? I was wondering. Thank you so much for bringing it up. I was like, I wonder how Sean showered this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is though, it's like, I don't like a lot of things that are super trendy. And right now it's like ice bath is probably the trendiest thing in the world.
Do you want to know how trendy it is?
How trendy?
I went to Home Depot because yesterday, again, the sun was out. So I was getting my backyard and my patio ready for warm weather. So I was power washing. I was like cleaning all the furniture and everything, doing homeowner shit. But I had these extra slabs of wood that I wanted to build shelves out of. I go to Home Depot and I walk in, the guy looks at me and I was dressed from the gym. So I looked like I had worked out within the last, I don't know, year. And he's like, let me guess, you're looking for a tin for an ice bath?
Yeah.
So this dude that works at Home Depot is absolutely over the fad because he's like, we don't have any. People are going and buying those like metal troughs.
The plant containers.
Yes. Yeah.
That you find at like Tractor Supply.
Yeah. I was like, nah, man, I just wanted you to like cut this piece of wood for me, but like I'll go home if you're mad at me. It was really aggressive. So yes, very trendy.
Yeah, it's trendy. I tried to get one. I also went the same route and they're like, nah, we don't have any. Lowe's, Tractor Supply. And I was like, you know what? I got a perfectly good working shower in my house. And I actually like, I think the shower's harder. Prove me wrong.
No. I was literally about to say, but that is, I think, a whole nother beast.
Yeah,
yes,
when you're
it's
in the ice
same.
Bath, you have a layer over you. When you're in the shower, it's just constantly spraying different parts of your body. It's like you can't get used to it. So.
Yeah, so you do this voluntarily.
I do it every morning. I've done it every day of 2023. And I love
no
it.
No way.
And but yes,
literally every single day.
Every single, there's one day I didn't. And I was really sick.
Oh, okay, well, that's fair.
And I was like, there's no way I'm getting in that shower today. But I was sick with a cold or something.
Every morning or you just do it every day?
Every single morning. I have to wake up.
Don't you wake up at like the crack of Jesus too?
It depends. On Mondays, Fridays, and maybe Wednesdays, I wake up at 4:18.
Okay, first of all, that's a serial killer number.
Yeah, 4:18 and 4:20 are my two alarms.
But what made you decide that this was going to now be your new routine for 23? Is it like a New Year's resolution thing?
It was definitely seeing the trend everywhere.
So you were
and
influenced.
And then listening to podcasts about the health benefits,
okay,
which I do think there are some, but I think right now it's become such a mental thing. It's like waking up and you're doing something challenging and something you don't want to do.
Sure.
Like you get up, you're kind of like, ugh, kind of a little groggy. But once you get in the shower, you got to like really amp yourself up.
Okay.
Like I amp myself up to get in there. Like I listen to like motivational videos on YouTube. I'll put it in the shower.
Stopping yourself in the chest.
Yep. And then I'll put a timer for 3 minutes and then I'll hop in. And I used to start with it like hot and then I'd gradually like turn it colder and colder and colder.
That sounds harder.
No.
Is your hair involved in this?
Oh, yeah. I step right in. Like, and then I go like right here, forwards, sides, backwards, forwards, sides, hit all sides. And I just go in a circle.
For 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes. Yeah. And it's terrible, but it feels so good when you're done.
Okay.
Physically and mentally. Physically, it releases like a dopamine rush because it's a stressor on your body.
Sure.
So it's like fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
So you get a little dopamine, right? Like who needs a nice coffee when you got a nice shower?
Apparently not you.
So you feel good. And then you're like, all right, boom, knock that out. I'm ready to go. What's next? You know what's next? Making your bed.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to make your bed, Sam Cat.
No, I mean, I am not.
And I just started this.
Okay. I'm not.
I just started the bed thing like
37
a couple weeks
next,
ago.
37 yeah. next month. You just started making your bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should edit that part out too.
Yeah.
I don't take cold showers. I'm not ballsy enough. Maybe I would, but I also feel like if my hair didn't have to get wet, I'd be way more, it would be easier for me to do it.
It's tougher for girls.
I feel like cold ass hair at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, do you want me to be in a bad mood? No. But I feel like if I didn't have to put my face in it, I would be much more of like a warrior and I would like try it because I've done ice baths before. But like you said, I do think ice baths are way different than a shower.
Way different.
But I've also heard people recommend, you know, because it's a fad, so it's everywhere. You take your regular hot shower and then right before you get out, you do like 10 seconds of cold and then you build from there 30 seconds or 20, 30, 40 seconds, which, you know, I've heard about, haven't tried it yet. And I don't know if it's on my docket of things to try.
Yeah, we'll try it though.
But why? Like, okay, a dopamine rush. You know what else gives me dopamine? Iced coffee.
That's true.
Like, what is the difference? Other than fight or flight?
It's, well, the mental part that I said, it's not hard to drink a cup of coffee.
Correct.
It's mentally challenging to force yourself to do something tough and to know you're going to go through a little bit of pain to get to the good stuff.
Okay. I don't know that I like buy that. Why? Okay.
It's like it's a reward. Like you have to do something challenging and hard
to feel good.
To feel good.
Okay. That's truly how I feel every single day I go to the gym.
And it just wakes your ass up immediately.
Yeah.
Like you're not sleepy or groggy anymore.
Maybe.
And there's all types of health benefits. So they say. Yeah.
And you then feel you healthier?
I feel healthier now in general, just from like everything that I'm doing. And then you make your bed. That's like another thing to check off. I think it's about getting momentum as soon as you wake up, right? A lot of people go right to their phone.
Ugh. No, I actually make a rule for myself to not do that.
Yeah, I do the same.
Like a conscious effort. I mean, yes, my alarm is on my phone. So technically I do look at it when I turn it off. I'm not going to lie about that. But I have put parameters around and I put timers on all of my apps.
Yeah,
like same. Log me out. I can't be looking at that. But I make a conscious effort to not look at my phone until well into my day.
Yeah.
And I do think it helps.
You shouldn't look at your screen for at least like 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
After you wake up, because as soon as you wake up, you go right into that blue light again. It's diminishing the sleep and recovery that you just had from the night before.
And I heard kind of going off the thing where you're saying about it's like a dopamine hit, that there are studies or linking between like if you look at your phone immediately, that's your first dopamine hit of the day, which means you're going to be kind of more addicted to your phone that day. You'll spend more time on your screen.
Yeah.
Which is like, I cannot be good for you.
It's dopamine.
I mean, yeah, it helps. Apparently. That's why I love vitamin D as well. I feel like that's a rush. Yeah. Kind of, I mean, not the same, but different in the morning routine thing. You get up, you take your cold shower, you make your bed. Very important. I feel like making my bed is somehow connected to like my brain being less cluttered.
Yeah.
I feel like my room looks better. I feel better. You cannot convince me that cleanliness is not linked to like mental health. And 100%. I feel like when I am cleaner and more organized and like, I know that I'm a little bit of a psycho and I get that. I don't expect people to be quite as organized and as diligent as me, but it directly like affects how I'm feeling. But the third thing, and I don't know if you've done this, but it's kind of a fad, I think, or it's just new to my life, is grounding. They say, go outside, take your shoes off and like stand in your yard. Like stand in your yard.
And what type of drugs are you taking when you do this?
Listen, apparently just dopamine, your favorite trigger word of this
episode.
Vitamin D. But I've
heard—
Vitamin
dopamine.
No, for real though. I've heard it's kind of— I mean, listen, you mean to tell me that it's not a psychopath move for you to take a freezing cold shower, but it is a psychopath move to go out and stand barefoot in your backyard?
And you're just standing there like connecting, hands like, by your side looking up to the sun?
You don't have to be a weirdo about it. You just like say you walk to your mailbox.
Yeah.
Say you walk your dog or say they say do it barefoot. gotcha. And like recharge from the earth. Okay. Whether or not it's true, I had no evidence of that.
Toes into the earth.
I mean, I got web toes, so I got a lot of push in there.
All right, I get that. I can see that, but I agree with you. Like anytime that I'm feeling like stressed or overwhelmed, and I'm at my house, I notice that I'm starting to clean everything. Mm-hmm. Like yes. I'm vacuuming, doing my laundry, making sure that like the space that I'm in is nice and perfect, and then I can just like refocus on everything. 100%.
Every piece of thing you have in your house should have a home. As soon as something like I can't not find a place for it to be like nicely organized in a space cohesive with everything else, she gone.
She gone.
Yeah.
Daily affirmations. I got hooked on these recently. I listened to Dr. Dispenza, and he's basically saying that we live 90% of our lives in our subconscious. So everything we do throughout the day, we're doing subconsciously. And the only way to change that routine and change those thoughts is to change your thoughts and change mm-hmm. your mind. Like that's the only way. So if you do one thing every day when a situation arises, like say give me something that you might want to be better at or struggle with. Well, putting you on the spot.
Well, it's kind of ironic you say that because you're talking about your subconscious. And one of the things, like my, not New Year's resolution, but goal for this year was to be nicer to myself.
Okay.
I'm like exactly. Very mean to myself.
Right. So a perfect daily affirmation for you would be, all right, I'm going to be nicer to myself today. I'm going to be nicer to myself today.
But is that a daily? I thought daily affirmations is like, I am strong. I am woman. No, you like, you know,
say,
like
yeah,
chanting.
You can do that. But you can also say that. And so that's in your mind and you're building it into your subconscious. So then when something arises where you start being mean to yourself, it sends a trigger like, no, I'm going to be nice to myself. And that's something you're practicing just like anything else. You're practicing and getting your mind stronger.
Sure. Do you want to tell us what your daily affirmations are? Or is that too intimate? You don't want us to know that?
Be too intimate. I got a whole bunch of them.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. But can you give an example, maybe one that you've like heard from Dr. What was his name again?
Joe Dispenza.
Joe Dispenza. Like, what does he recommend? Or is it just, it's unique to each
person? They're basically
saying,
yeah, it's unique to each person.
Okay.
And something that you got to do for like, you know, they put 21 days on it. But every day, every morning, waking up, and that's one of the first things that you're doing when your mind's going and at its best.
Okay.
Then when something comes up and arises during the day, you immediately go back to that. And the more you do that, the more that part now becomes your subconscious. And then your subconscious now is you being nicer to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it just builds on itself.
So then you just like organically become nicer to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, how else would you practice it, you know?
I don't know. I'm 32 years in.
Exactly.
I'm still fucking
You're 32
mean.
Years in. You've probably been mean to yourself for
Ever.
31 years.
Yeah.
Right?
But how did I learn that? That's the thing that when I think about like, you know, I think daily affirmations and like learning something about yourself or trying to quote unquote fix something about yourself or get better about it. 9 times out of 10, I feel like that's not a real statistic. Please do not quote me. But other people's affirmations that I've heard with like friends and family, those are like learned behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Like who taught me to be mean to myself? That's what I wonder. Like when right. I start spiraling like that, I'm like, where did this thought even originate from?
Yeah.
How did you learn that? I mean, I know where mine came from.
Yeah.
I know. Mine came up from my bringing up in gymnastics.
Yeah, for sure.
Being in the world of gymnastics, it's rough. It's tough. It's a lot of, and like you said, mental strength is huge. And I feel like kind of undoing those things that like, just because someone said it doesn't mean it's true, Sammy.
Yeah.
Like, but.
And that's trying to rewire your brain.
And yeah.
You have to work hard on it.
And it takes 21 days.
But people try, more than 21, but. Yeah. You do everything else, right? As far as like physical well-being and working out, and you only get stronger and you only lose weight or gain muscle by doing that every single day and retraining your body. So it's kind of the same with your brain.
Do you write your daily affirmations down? Like I hear some people put it like on the mirror.
I don't. No? I just listen to them.
You say them to yourself or you listen to someone else saying
so
them to
I've
you?
So I've like recorded them for what I want to work on.
Okay.
And then I'll play that in the morning.
How often does that
I'm
change?
While I'm getting ready or driving into work.
Okay.
I've had the same ones for like a month or so. But if there's something new I want to add, I'm like, oh man, I wish I was better at that. Then I'll try and add that. You know what I'm saying?
Where is returning my texts on that list? Is that
that's
high
actually
up
one
on the
of
list?
Them.
Or, yeah. Oh
it's
my
like,
God.
It's like, all right, I'll get back to people as soon as I can.
Let me see. Let me hear that voice memo. Is my name specifically in it or just everybody as humans?
It's yours. Nobody else.
I love when you lie to me.
Yeah. So that's like my morning.
Okay.
And also,
I'm exhausted.
It's a good way to start the day.
We haven't even eaten breakfast yet.
This is what I've done before I got here. There's like probably 10 to 15 things that I strive to do every single day.
Okay.
And I write them out. I sit down at my counter and I write out everything on my calendar. Boom, 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 boom. And I have two highlighters. I have a yellow one and then a blue one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the bones of my day, like the linchpins, right? I have to do all of these things throughout the day at some point for me to feel like I had a successful day. And that doesn't include like, okay, you have to do this at work today, or you have to like get back to that person.
The actual to-do things.
The actual to-do things, right? Like the cold shower, I'll do that. Then I highlight it in yellow. And I go all the way down my list from the morning to the night. And so, if I miss something, I put it in blue. And I'm like, all right, I missed that yesterday. I need to focus on that today. And then you can look at your calendar every week, every month, and you're like, wow, I did really good there. Or, oh, I was struggling on Wednesdays, or this week was tough. So you can actually see what you're missing and sure. what you're doing. Because if you start missing stuff and you don't even realize it, it's just going to tack on to each other, right?
Agreed, yes.
And then you just don't even, you know, do anything. But so if you can visually see it.
Do you think that like something that I do struggle with is that, say I do make a list of things I need to do, whether they be the actual to-do things that have to do with my job or yeah. things like the cold shower. If you miss something like that, or you're like, oh, I didn't complete that today, are you hard on yourself that you didn't do it? Or is it like, you know what, we'll just add it to tomorrow?
Yeah, I try to, like at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I got to do that. I got to right, do that. And right. I try to get it done.
Okay.
But then, yeah, I think I am obviously hard on myself. Yeah. So I make sure that next day I don't miss it.
So I couldn't agree. I feel like I do the same thing where if I have a list, but I didn't get it done, I'm like, why am I being hard on myself? I can do it tomorrow type yeah. of thing. But I do try and add it to be the first thing I do the next day.
Right.
To almost to like prove to myself that I can do it. Yeah. And the same thing, you're like, oh, you start your day with something hard. It's like, oh, well, I didn't want to do this yesterday.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to knock it out first. Exactly. And you feel like you can take on the day.
That's the way to go.
Look at us.
I got Walter on my list every day of things to accomplish. And that's just general making sure my dog, by the way, Walter has the best day. And he exercises. He goes outside. I play with him. I put my phone down. One of my biggest pet peeves, and I hate this, is when I see people walking their dogs down the street and their face is in their damn phone. I'm like, give your dog 20 minutes of alone time with you and him. You know, build that bond. And get off your damn phone. It's so bad for you. I'm like, you're walking in the middle of the street. The dog's pulling you because it's not well behaved because you're not paying attention to him. Uh-huh. And you're just scrolling Instagram. It's like, how about you put your phone on your counter, leave the house without the phone, walk your dog, get that vitamin D, and you're going to feel so much better.
I agree.
I hate that.
I feel like it's a simple.
It drives me nuts.
A simple thing that adds up over time and can make a big difference.
Yeah. And I also feel bad for the dog.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I mean, not like, yeah. It's like, come on, just you and the dog, build that bond.
There's plenty of people who shouldn't have dogs that do.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was almost a fad to get a dog during the pandemic because everybody was at home.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're back to quote unquote real life and people are like, oh shit, I got a dog.
I know. A lot of people yeah. said that. Walter is actually a quarantine puppy. Not by design,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but you're like the most, probably top three most dedicated dog dads I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Like borderline psycho, but in a good way.
Yeah, I'm pretty psycho with my dogs. Oh, yeah.
I'm aware.
When I got Walter, and it was just like a fluke thing after Tucker passed, but it was during COVID, and it was like the thick of COVID, and I had to go pick him up in Salt Lake City, and I had to go fly, and I flew, and there was nobody on the flight. Like, it was pretty sweet. Got off the plane, walked out to the terminal, the pickup area, met the breeder. They handed me Walter. And then I went back inside and got on a flight and flew back. And it was just me and Walter in first class. And it was just a flight attendant's like hanging out with Walter. I'm like, this boy is spoiled right out of the gates.
So nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed since. He's been spoiled ever since. So that's something I do every day. Make sure he's living a good life, or else that's something I'll feel really guilty about. Next thing I got on my list, I got water. Got to drink water. And another trendy thing is these huge gallons.
Sure.
Like the, besides, I mean, Stanley Cup is the trendiest thing
in
the world.
Can someone please tell me
what
happened that everyone's brain was just like, we can only drink water from Stanley. When did that happen?
It's insane. The Tools is what we're talking about. Like, that's a brand of tools, a Stanley.
The only Stanley Cup I was familiar with was the one in hockey until like 8 months ago.
And now it is all just every girl in her 20s.
In booth camp, right on that windowsill. It's like, bing, 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 bing. I'm like, tell me you work out with a bunch of white girls without telling me you work out with a bunch of white girls.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a white girl thing, I guess, if you want to say that. But it's like, what new color of the week does Stanley come out with? And hey, good for them. They're killing it. Stanley, if you want to hop on this podcast as a sponsor, we'll shout you out.
I just want to know like what their marketing strategy was, because it was
TikTok. Something happened on TikTok. Oh,
okay.
And then it just...
Well, I feel like when snowballed. They first came out, there was only like certain colors and they were always out of stock.
Always.
Like that's what I always saw, is that people were like, get these while they're in stock. And so everybody would freak out and buy like three different kinds.
Yeah.
And they were always out of stock. It felt like, I mean, I don't have a Stanley, so I'm behind on the trend.
We got to get
behind
you
on. I'm behind
what
on
what color
trend.
Would you want?
Yeah. I don't care. I like, it's a water bottle. I'm not going to discriminate.
Yeah.
A cute one. How about that?
There we go. A cute one.
Don't make it fugly.
But those are things that I guess, whatever, they're making people drink more water. When you can visually see the water that you have to drink throughout the entire day.
Sure.
I think that's easier.
Is that what gets you going too?
It is, yeah. Because I notice if I don't have something like that, I don't have a Stanley. I have one of the big gallon jugs, right, yeah. That I carry around.
The blue one that you work out with?
Yeah, exactly. But staying hydrated, another thing on my list of things to do, I listen to audiobook every day. Got to listen for at least 30 minutes.
I was going to say a whole book?
No, that'd be a lot.
Does it have to be self-help or just like a book in general?
I'm attracted to the self-help books.
Wow, we could not be more opposite.
Yeah. I don't like the fiction books. I don't like reading fiction. I don't like listening to fiction. I don't like watching fiction.
You're a lot of fun, huh?
I know it sounds like I'm
bring
really
this
fun.
Guy to the party.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about self-help. You and your fairy books. Get out of here.
Okay, yeah, Graham. Like Twilight. I'm not going to watch that.
Jesus, how old are
zombies?
You, Sean? Twilight is from 2008,
yeah,
buddy.
But that was like a bigger freaking craze than the Stanley Cups.
Okay, but that's a franchise. It's way different than a vessel
zombies,
to drink water.
Right?
Yes, but there's so much more.
I'm trying to cross my leg here.
I'll move this leg for you.
Yeah, thanks.
There are also, you know, a wide range of fictional stories, not just zombies and vampires. As someone who does enjoy fictional reading.
I feel like I want to feel something when I'm watching like a documentary, like something that could actually happen.
Sure.
Gets me going.
Totally.
I'm one of the guys, I'm like, that's bullshit right there. You're telling me that girl just, you know, was walking down the street and she fell in love with that zombie over there. Now that she's having sex with the zombie and they have kids and they're going off and getting married and.
Not to call you out, but that's awfully bold statement to come from someone who married someone on national television.
Yeah, she wasn't a zombie.
Okay.
All right. She was a real person.
I just feel like, oh, okay, reality.
That's
hello.
Real.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, to each their own. I was never a big reader until literally last year, 31 years old. I was like, you know what? I should pick up a freaking book.
You should.
And so.
What'd you read?
So here's what had happened was
R.L. Stine Goosebumps.
Oh Jesus! Oh my! Wait, that was a good time. That
yeah.
The Scholastic Book Fair. I can't even say that word.
People don't even know.
I can
about
like
those
smell that right
days.
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, that was,
that was
speaking
exciting.
Of dopamine. Speaking
yeah.
of dopamine. That's like
that
my
was
first
probably the
dopamine
biggest
hit.
Dopamine rush.
The
yeah.
90s. Like
you walk
man.
Into the library and the Scholastic Day.
Almost
as like
good.
Reading Rainbow.
Jesus, almost as good as when your teacher would like reel in the TV with the VCR and you just like knew you were watching a movie instead of learning your ABCs or whatever.
Yeah.
Also a dopamine hit. I digress. I really enjoy documentaries. I enjoy like historical documentaries, especially about like the history of music. I've really gotten into a lot of those because I feel like I have a special appreciation for it because I do work in the music industry, but I will watch a documentary on anything. So I thought that I would love self-help books and other documentaries in a book form. And I was like, this is the most boring shit ever. I could not get into it. So I'm like, oh, I'm just not a reader. So I just wrote it off.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, that's actually not the case. You can like to watch documentaries and not read them. And you can like to read fiction books and not watch them.
Yeah.
And it's me, your girl.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Didn't say it made sense, but.
Hey, it works. As long as you're reading.
Don't knock it until you try it.
I try and read every night before bed. I've noticed that if I read before bed, my sleep is a million times better instead of watching
more.
TV.
Couldn't agree more.
And I only read probably like 8 to 10 pages and then I'm out.
So it's because you're reading boring books. It's because you're reading self-help number whatever
no,
of the day.
My books aren't boring. Like right now, I actually have like 4 or 5 different books on my nightstand. I'll like kind of switch through
sure,
them. Is,
same.
That, is that crazy?
No, I okay. never read one book start to finish.
I bounce around. I'm reading Michael Jordan's Trainer's book. Like that's a cool book. I forget. It's the second book that he's written.
Okay.
And it's basically all about winning at all costs. I forget the title of it, but Machine Meg is letting me borrow that. Go figure.
Of course.
Yeah. I think it's just Winning by Grover, right?
I don't know. I'm not
Tim Grover.
It,
yeah. Yeah. The first one was Relentless. Second one, that's the one I'm reading right now. The Unforgiving Race to Greatness. Yeah. It's basically just like, you know, stop being a bitch and just do it.
That's pretty much how I live my life.
Yeah. That's a good motto. So I know how to read.
Okay. But you do.
No big deal.
Yeah, it's fine. Everybody, 8 to 10 pages. Look out.
Yeah.
He's setting records out here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So audiobooks, you said you read them at least 30 minutes a day.
I don't read the audiobooks. I listen to those.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. About 30 minutes is what I strive to do. I also meditate. I like meditating. That's a tough one. That's one that I have to work on. Like just sitting still. And I started for like 10 minutes a day, like worked up to 16 minutes a day, but just like focusing on your breath. And that's another thing. It's like, you're only going to get better at it if you do it every single day, but it does feel good.
Out of the entire list that you've given so far.
Yeah.
Meditation is just like, I don't even think it's realistic for me.
Well, that's because you haven't tried it.
Who are you telling I haven't tried it? What are you following me around every day knowing if I'm trying it?
I bet you if you tried it, it'd get more realistic.
I have tried it many a time. Yeah. It's really hard to turn this brain off.
Exactly.
It's always moving.
And how do you turn the brain off? By practicing meditation. I'm the same way. Just like that. Nice big deep inhale, exhale. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So then my question is, so sure, I can sit there and breathe and like not look at my phone or not watch TV or not talk to anybody for 10 minutes. But I feel like, aren't you supposed to be focusing on something? All of a sudden I'm thinking about like, did I get the right chicken breast from Trader Joe's? Like, yeah, what the hell am I?
Of course.
Like, and then I'm way off and I'm like, oh my God, did I book that flight?
Yeah. But once you start doing it every day, it's going to get better. I'm telling you, I'm the same way.
I'm asking you, what do you think about? When you start your meditation for 10 minutes,
yeah,
you just let your brain run wild like that?
It's an app that I use. They talk you through it.
Oh, okay.
It's like, all right, take some deep breaths.
Missed that part, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's guided meditation. Okay. I don't do my own meditation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And the truth comes out.
Yeah. No, it's guided. Completely guided.
Okay.
Yeah. And
he even
says at a certain time, he's like, all right, let your brain do whatever the hell you want right now. Let it wander. It's like, all right, bring it back to me. Here we go. Come on, let's go.
Well, we do that in our restore class at your gym as well. When we sit down and think and concentrate on your breath, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about like six sides of Sunday, and then Carmen's like, hey, it's okay if your mind wandered, but bring it back. I'm like, oh, shit.
Exactly. And then I'm always like, oh, yeah, where am I? Like,
same.
What am I doing? Yeah, I'm off here thinking about something ridiculous.
All right, I'll add it to my list of things to try. How about that?
Add that, throw that on there, sleep routine. That kind of goes hand in hand with reading. Like, if I watch TV and I fall asleep to the TV, I'm like, man, my sleep was trash that night before.
Do you sleep to complete silence, or do you have a sound machine?
Silence, but again, it's because I'm so tired. Yeah, you can't deal with silence because your brain,
you
gotta calm that thing down.
I feel like silence sometimes is like more deafening than noise. I listen to Pink Noise at night.
Pink Noise.
I listen to Pink Noise. It's like a Spotify playlist.
No,
I mean, I don't know if it's trendy. I'm the least trendy person you know, but it's just a playlist on Spotify. And it's 8 hours worth of Pink Noise. It sounds like if Rain and White Noise had a baby, that's Pink Noise.
Huh.
And they have, I mean, there's Brown Noise, Green Noise, all these things. Like, I listen to the same playlist every night.
Interesting.
Are we looking it up?
Sounds. Pink Noise.
Pink Noise, yeah.
They got Warm Pink Noise, 10 hours of Pink Noise. Let's hear this.
If Rain and White Noise had a baby, it would be Pink Noise.
That's pretty accurate. But how'd they come up with pink?
Listen, buddy, I wasn't there at the beginning of the meeting where they decided this.
Interesting. All right. Pink Noise.
Pink Noise. I recommend it. It helps me, I feel like, kind of zone out almost, which is essentially how you fall asleep. But
yeah.
I
used to be 100%. I could only fall asleep if I was watching TV.
Yes.
And I let it run.
That is something that I have made a conscious decision that if
that's
I ever
tough.
Do have children, they will not have a TV in their bedroom.
Yeah.
Because that's how I built that terrible, terrible habit. No offense to my parents. They didn't know any better. Like, when they were growing up, there was no such thing as having TVs in their room.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yikes.
That's something that's tough to kick to, because at the end of the day, you're so tired. You probably haven't gotten to sit down and watch TV. Mm-mm. You want to watch your zombies.
But there have been times that I've been watching something, like I was watching Night Agent not that long ago on Netflix, and I fell asleep watching that. And the nightmares I had, because it was still on, I feel like it was playing to my subconscious. I was like fighting for my life in the middle of my dreams. That's a terrifying feeling.
That is.
Don't get in that habit. That's a terrible habit. You got to break that. Moving on.
Moving on. And last thing I got is just not drinking. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in like 120 something days.
Not that you're counting.
Not that I'm counting. It feels good though.
Was it a conscious decision, or you just were like, meh, not for me?
I've gone in spurts where I'll drink and then I won't, and I'll drink and then I won't. I've kind of always done that. I started drinking like real young at like 14 or 15. Like we partied hard. Like we partied real hard in high school. We partied real hard in college, kept on going past college. But I was always like, all right, I'm going to take some time off, focus on like my athletics and sports. Sure. And then it was just always up and down. Like I'd go months. A few years ago, I went like a year or two without drinking, but this one, I'm just like, yeah, I just don't really want to right now in my life. And it feels so much better, even though, because I get the worst hangovers, and I could have one or two drinks and I'm going to feel it the next day. And I've always kind of been that guy who gets bad hangovers, even since I was young. So now living life, I mean, I'm in my mid 30s. I'm like, I don't really need alcohol, or I don't want it. Okay. I don't really crave it. It's also, you know, with my schedule, with my profession, waking up early in the morning at a gym all day, I'm like, doesn't really help me in that case, you know?
I do know, but I just live a completely opposite life as you. And I mean, I definitely think that I go in spurts as well of like, I'm going to like lay off the drinking a bit, and I'm going to, maybe I'll have like a bunch of events in a row and I feel like I am drinking a lot.
Yeah, you're in a tough industry.
Yes. I was going to say, so not only that, but like I'm from a huge, very huge family, and everybody's a drinker, and it's not like, it's just, it's not weird. You know, like we get together, we eat, we drink, and it's always like, even since I was a kid, I mean, I didn't really drink young. I feel like I started drinking in college.
Or what's the longest you've gone without drinking?
I honestly do not know. I don't count the minutes and days like you do. 123 days. But I mean, I've taken months. Like I started, listen, you want to know what I started one time. I did dry January, and that was the only time in my entire life that I said, I'm going to stay sober for this 30 days. Guess what freaking year that was? January of COVID. 2020. So I stayed home all of January working on myself, staying sober, went out for February, boom, March, back in the house. And I feel like that was God telling me that I should drink. So here I am.
Did you feel though?
See, and that's the other thing. I do have to be honest with you. I did not feel that different.
What do you, I mean, you got to give a little time.
30 days is not a little time.
What do you mean you need to feel different?
I just feel like people talk about, it's the same thing, which,
listen, of course, it's like,
everybody's individual, but they're like, these dudes, even like at the gym, like, oh, I gave up soda for 30 days. I lost 13 pounds. I'm like, you can go fuck yourself. That pisses me off so badly. I'm like, oh, cool. I smelt a brownie when I was running during this workout, and I jiggle more. Like, I cannot stand that. And so I do feel like giving up alcohol in general does more than just like a weight loss thing. It makes you feel better. And like you said, it's like 100 million health benefits to not poison yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what alcohol is.
Poisoning yourself, yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I did not feel enough of a difference any of the time that I've given up alcohol that it's like, wow, this is something that I want to dedicate for the rest of my life.
Really?
But that's me.
Yeah.
Maybe,
and
I'm
to
just
each their own.
But
I'm
also
surprised you didn't feel better though.
I mean, I did it. It wasn't noticeable enough for me to be like, oh, this was worth it. Because I also feel like, I mean, I don't mean to gloat, but like, I don't really get hangovers. Like I've definitely been hungover, but like, your girl's a champ. Like I'm like, yeah, slug of water, love a berry Propel. Maybe an ibuprofen or two, go to the gym, sweat it out, sauna it. And I'm just like ready to get back on it within like the next 8 to 12 hours.
I mean, that's impressive.
I do. You
it's
know
not
what?
The same for me.
I'm 50% Irish, 50% Polish. That's a lot of drinking.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, but you're lame and I'm no, not.
I am 50% Irish and Scottish, and then the other half I'm Polish.
Listen, that was literally an excuse. I was joking. That was just a stereotype.
You're not.
I know. No, I am. I am 50-50, but I don't know that that has anything to do with the ability of how good of a drinker I am.
I mean, yeah, I could be. I'm a good drinker. I mean,
are you? I'd say, what do you define as good? I think you are. Okay. No, I think a good drinker is someone who's a good hang. Like, you know who's a bad drinker.
Yeah.
When I say, do you know any bad drinkers? You could name three right now, because it's the person who's too emotional. And they're like, it's like, dude, what are you doing? We're like adults out in public. It's the guy who wants to fight everybody in the bar. Like, those are bad drinkers. It's the person who drinks one glass of red wine and can't get out of bed for 2 days.
Yeah.
Listen, alcohol ain't for you, buddy. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's
true. But I feel like everybody's kind of been there in those situations. Too emotional, wanting 100%. To fight everybody. Like,
see, here's the thing. I'm actually like the nicest drunk I know. I'm getting people to do a conga line in the bar.
I have.
Taking people's shirt off, whipping around their head.
Too
Let's
much
go.
Fun. I think that's my problem. I have too much fun. I don't want the fun to ever end. I'm an all or nothing guy.
Well, we are fire either, and gasoline, or what is it? The match and gasoline?
Yeah, I think it's fire and gasoline.
We are, Luke Combs wrote a song about us. It's called One Too Many.
Yeah.
Because once I crack it open, I don't want it to stop. And then all of a sudden, the birds are chirping and the sun's coming up. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Guess I should go to bed.
I can't do those anymore.
You ain't as good as you once was, but you as good as one. Yeah, I did. I stayed up way too late. Yeah. But I was actually pretty tame then. I just was up late.
Yeah.
But I was, my cousins and I decided that we were going to stay in and save money. What did we do? Stayed up till 6 o'clock in the morning, like idiots watching. Well, you know, we were learning choreography from 90s music videos. So it's not all ruckus. Some of it's good and beneficial. Nostalgia. Yeah,
it is. I'm the guy that's like, everybody always asks where to go in Nashville when they come to town. And
let me
like,
Let me guess what you tell them. Will you lie to me if I get it right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, guess.
Honky Tonk Central. Yeah,
exactly. Honky Tonk Central.
I don't know if Sean has like invested in Honky Tonk Central, or he has some sort of connection that he's not telling us about, or they have something over him, but I've never met someone who is a resident of Nashville, not a tourist, a resident of Nashville, who loves Honky Tonk Central more than Sean Booth.
It's nostalgia for me. That was the first bar that I went to in Nashville, Tennessee.
Sure.
I came down here. That's why I'm in Nashville. Honky Tonk Central.
Honky Tonk Central.
That's why I picked
there you
up
have
my
it,
life
ladies
and
gentlemen.
No, I went on a trip with two of my buddies, two of my guy friends, both lunatics. And we get a hotel that was right downtown. We'd never been to Nashville. It was like CMA week. Want to have a good time. One of my buddies, he was like, I'm not going to drink. Like, I'm going to take it easy. We literally checked in our hotel. We put our suitcases down and we're like, hey, where's our buddy? And he was out on the balcony smoking a cigarette and drinking a bottle of whiskey. And we're like, oh, you're going to take it easy this weekend? Like, and that's how it got kicked off. We walked down the street. We walked down to Broadway, and the very first bar we saw was Honky Tonk Central. And we went straight in there. And now that's where I'm like, when I drink, my mind goes back there. So I can be at like the W or like these fancy whatever.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, I'm fully aware.
Yeah, but it'll be like 1 a.m.
Sam Cat. You ready for Honky Tonk Central, Sean? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Honky Tonk Central.
It's Saturday at 1 a.m. in July. Do you know how crowded Honky Tonk Central is?
I know. It's kind of lost its
luster.
Magic.
You know, but it's kind of funny. Like, while you were talking about how you came and visited here and all the things, not only do I feel like my job in the industry that I work in has a lot of drinking, but the town that I live in has a lot of drinking. Like, when people come to Nashville and they ask me for things to do and they're like, yeah, but we don't drink. I'm like, you should go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean that in a bad way, but I'm like, the reason people love Nashville is because you can walk to 25 bars within, like, you can stumble to 25 bars, live music, and any drink you can think of. And it's like, if you don't want to do that, I mean, you can still listen to the live music. It's definitely it. But I just feel like your tolerance for drunk people is probably not going to be pretty high when you're sweaty and body to body in a honky tonk.
Yeah. People are like, hey, I'm coming down to Nashville. I'm like, okay, cool. Have fun.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Meet us out. I'm like, yeah, for sure. I'll try.
Because it's like, also, any street you drive down here, you're stuck behind a damn pedal tavern.
Woo girls.
Or anything that has wheels. There will be a bachelorette party on there drinking.
100%.
Yelling and screaming and dancing.
And you know what? Good on them.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're
absolutely.
Having a blast. I know it's fun. I've done it. I've
done
been
it
one of those
way
woo
too
girls.
Many times. I've taken one of those pedal taverns way too many times. But yeah, it feels good not to drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I support you.
Thank you. Is it forever? I appreciate that. We'll see. We'll see how
we're just winging it.
I mean, I just feel better mentally, emotionally, physically.
Do you get?
I get anxiety.
I was going to say, yeah. Do you get anxiety?
More than anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really hard on myself. So I'll wake up and I'm hungover and I go into a spiral.
About like things you said, things you did, things everything. You thought you did.
I've never woken up and been like, you know what? I'm glad I drank last night. That was, you know what?
You've never woken up and been like, wow, that was fun.
Yeah, of course it was fun. And then I'm like, a few hours later though, I'm like,
really?
Yeah.
I should learn a little more of that.
You should.
I should, because I wake up and I'm like, eh, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Here's my thing, or I guess my justification, which I'm not saying that it's correct, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, I've never done something that someone else hasn't already done. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not out here acting a fool. Like, right. Sure, do I act a little more wild than other people? Sure, but my starting line is more wild than other people. So it's like, I'm obviously, I don't know, maybe I should just be more shy. I got to reel it in. Who knows? I mean, 32 years in, I don't think we're going to stop now.
That's the thing. I'm 37 almost. So it's like, I've had my fun. I'll have more fun, but I've
dead.
Had.
You're not
I'm
dead.
I'm not dead, but I'm also like,
I meant more like I'm 32 years in and I still haven't learned my lesson. So there's probably no chance in me learning.
Yeah, you're a lost cause, man. Okay. You're a lost cause.
Just floating out here.
Lost
hey,
cause.
Listen, if you guys want to have a good time, you call me. If you want to be boring, call Sean.
Speaking of boring, worst hangovers. Here we go.
Okay.
Our top four worst hangovers.
Okay.
The final four.
Final four.
Sam Cat.
Okay, so actually, this is the very first time I ever drank, like actually got drunk. I was still, I mean, I guess I was in high school. I lied to you. I said college. I was in high school. Sorry, mom and dad. And I drank Franzia boxed wine, like slapping the bag straight into your mouth. And I, first of all, had never been drunk. So I didn't really know like what a hangover would entail. But let me tell you, still after all of these years of drinking probably way more than I did that night, I've never felt worse than when I woke up from the wine hangover.
Oof. How old were you?
Probably 18. 17, 18.
Yeah.
And whew, I laid in bed. My mom thought I was sick. I felt bad. I lied, obviously. I was 18. I wasn't going to tell her.
Sorry,
I was hungover.
Mom.
I mean, she's good now. She knows all the things now, but I don't know that I ever actually told her that. But oh my God, I could not even like open my eyes.
Yeah. That's a bad one.
Didn't learn my lesson. I'll tell you that.
You sure didn't. I'm going to say my number four is just college in general. Keene State College. I went to a college in New Hampshire and it was in the middle of nowhere. It was literally just this island of madness and chaos and a bunch of crazy people. And we used to buy 30 packs of Keystone Light for $7.99. And we called them Keenstones. $7.99 for that crap beer. You get 30 of them. And from 2005 to 2009, that was probably one of my biggest hangovers that I've had.
Just a straight like, 4-year hangover.
I mean, we were just, yeah.
Do you ever miss drinking like 30 beers and not being chubby? Because I do.
No, you know what the thing is? Not about chubby, but when you get back with your college buddies or your hometown buddies, you immediately go back to that place.
100%.
Right? Where it's like weddings now are just. Like, oh, I haven't seen this guy in 8 years. But when you're standing there and you're holding a drink with him, you immediately are back in the basement of Pearl Street in Keene, New Hampshire, and you just go there and you won't stop. Like, that's one of my best friend's weddings this past year in up north. Shout out to Smiles. We were up until probably like 6 in the morning with him and his bride and all the guys just like running around the hotel. Being maniacs as if we were back in college again.
Yeah, you know. I mean, but you got to do that.
Oh, that was fun.
I support that. I'm just like, listen, it's not like you're doing that every day or every weekend even. It's like, that's a once, hopefully their wedding's a once in a lifetime thing. So it's like, yeah, you should go back. I think that's what keeps you young.
Yeah, keeps you young.
I'm not a doctor, but I feel like there's some science behind that.
There is. Number three, Sam Cat.
My number three was actually, I used to work in hockey in Orlando and we had like, an amazing streak going. We were going to make the playoffs for the first time. It was this whole thing. So we started drinking in our office. I was wearing, I was the mascot of this hockey team.
Like a full
Full dancing polar bear. Yes. There are videos that I will not share with you, but So I was wearing like PJs and everybody else was dressed because they worked in an office like adults. And I started drinking Jack Daniels, as one does, just like pretty much straight out of the bottle at like 4 p.m. That night ended with, I don't even know how we stayed awake and went out downtown Orlando, but it did end with me trying to jump and like hug myself around a tree of sorts. You can imagine how that turned out. I had bruises from head to toe, but I woke up the next day from that little extravaganza. I didn't think I was ever going to recover, but I do have to say that it also goes to show that if you're not planning on it, like that was a whim. Like I didn't think we were going to drink. I wasn't prepared for it, but somehow those are the times that you like go the hardest. You know what I mean? Like we didn't, it was nobody's birthday. We weren't celebrating anything. I was literally just being an idiot with my coworkers.
Yeah. Some of the best times are the random times when you can't even like, there's nothing to celebrate.
Yes. There was a video of that night where my boyfriend at the time was like 6'4", 6'5", huge dude. And my coworkers, just like an average size dude, was on top of my boyfriend's shoulders in the bar dancing to like 90s music. And people were like cheering for us. No memory, but my phone had a memory.
We need the memory of you in that Solar Bear outfit.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm sure you can Google it, but like, it was Shades, the Solar Bear. Yeah. I did it for a full season. I was hustling, baby. I had four jobs.
My number three, this is kind of off of what you said, which is completely random, and they end up being the best times. I was sitting in my house with my buddy, Coop, and we were a huge snowstorm in Connecticut. And this,
well, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. This girl sent us a photo of her on the beach with a margarita down in Myrtle Beach. And
I know this story.
She's like, come to Myrtle Beach. And we're like, we looked at each other. I called my sister. I said, Megan, because we'd already been drinking. I was like, you need to drop me off at the airport right now. My sister comes over, drives us to the airport. We've already been drinking all day. We didn't pack any clothes, nothing. And then next morning we woke up, we were in Myrtle Beach. Completely hungover, my buddy. I can't get into too many details.
Did you go to jail?
No.
So no laws.
Not that time. Didn't break any laws, but started drinking at about 1 in the afternoon in Windsor-Locks, Connecticut, and ended up in Myrtle Beach for 2 or 3 days with the same pair of clothes. And that flight back home was pretty rough.
How old were you, Sean?
35. Yeah. No, that was my 20s. Early, mid-20s. Oh, okay. Right after college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still like feel mid-20s. Like that's acceptable.
Yeah.
That's like a funny story that you and Coop will have for the rest of your lives.
And yeah, and there's things that you remember from that too, like that are just ingrained in your brain because we met these other girls and we were just driving around Myrtle Beach in the Jeep Wrangler listening to Jason Aldean. And that's like when I fell in love with Jason Aldean as a country artist, like his first album, right? Like that's all we played on repeat was My Kind of Party for about 2 or 3 days. Coming back to reality after that was tough.
I mean, it is impressive. That's like, I feel like the pretty far travel.
Yeah.
It's pretty far travel for being intoxicated. I mean, I've traveled intoxicated. Actually, my number two hangover, I went on a cruise and it was like the all you can drink, all you can whatever.
Yeah,
but at the time, it wasn't all inclusive. It was like if you could have up to like 15 drinks a day. And like, obviously, I'm a competitive person, so I'm going to get my money's worth and I'm going to drink 15 drinks a day.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that that's 15 drinks on the ship. So if you get off the ship and drink 100 drinks, you still got 15 more to go on the boat. And I took that seriously for, it was only like a 3-day cruise because I lived in Florida. So you could like just hop on them and come back out. It was like super cheap and quick. When I tell you that I got back to my apartment and I could not look at my phone, I could not scroll on my phone because I had motion sickness because I was so hungover. I could not look at it. I could not set an alarm. Like I couldn't even breathe. I think that was like the closest to death I've ever been.
I agree with you.
And I was probably 25. Like I was still young and spry.
Yeah. A cruise is terrible. I went on one for about 6 or 7 days with about 10 buddies. And that was the same exact experience I had on that last day. I was actually like curled up in a ball in my bed because I was so sick. And it's all we did was just drink for 7 days straight. Mm-hmm. And then for about a week, I felt like,
oh, you're still rocking.
I was rocking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rocking.
Oh,
side
that
to side.
Makes me nauseous.
That's
just
an honorable mention there. That was number three.
No, that was my number two.
Number two for me. tough hangover I had, when I was on ABC's The Bachelorette, a little reality show, we went on a date to the Guinness factory.
Been there.
Sat down on a table like this, but it was a massive table and they just had pints of Guinness. I don't know if you've ever had Guinness in Ireland. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the absolute best tasting beer you can get.
Did you get your face printed on it?
I didn't. They didn't do that.
That was cool.
Unfortunately, they didn't do that. And that was a rough night. There were some cameramen that said that they saw me drink 18 Guinnesses. Not only that,
I'm not here to confirm or deny.
That's just the rumor. Can't confirm or deny that. There were five of us guys, and it was a group date. Mm-hmm. And this is like, they play games with you on the show so bad. They'll mess with your head so bad. And I was waiting my turn to get my time with Caitlin. And I'm sitting there for hours, and everybody's getting like an hour and a half. And then like, I finally get my time with her, and they give us like not even 10 minutes.
Jesus. Like, on purpose?
Yeah. They like mess with you. Like if they see somebody who's got a good connection, they're like, we're going to do whatever we can
to fuck that
to
up.
Try and build up the other relationships and try and kind of mess this one up.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm saving a spot for us at the top of the factory. It's like this rotating room. You can see the whole city. She's like, I'm going to save that spot for us. And then she got me. She's like, all right, let's go. We start walking up there. The producer was like, no, sorry, you guys can't go up there. It's closed for the night. We're like, whatever. They're like, you have to sit right here. It's like, we sit there at this little table, had 10 minutes with her, go back down, sitting on this table with all the beers. I start drinking. Another guy, he goes on a date, and then he comes back 2 hours later.
Jesus.
And I was like, he's like, man, it was awesome.
I went to the rotating room
at the top of the factory. What? And I was like, motherfucker. I'm like, these fuckers.
So then you started emotional drinking.
Yeah. Like, and I was drinking. And then I remember I was so upset.
Wait, that's so messed up.
Messed up.
Whatever. Yeah. That's besides the point. ADD. Keep going.
And so I'm drinking all night, and then I get like back to the hotel, and they could tell I was upset. They're like, do you want to go see Caitlin? I'm like, yeah, I want to go see Caitlin.
Oh God, that's
I'm like, yeah, where's her room? And then they bring me up to her room, and I remember like, and this is like, I've been drinking all day, not only Guinness, but we were at like in Dublin drinking whiskey and with Harrison and all this stuff. So you're talking about 1 or 2 in the morning. And basically, yeah, I was like this with one eye open. And then I just like vaguely remember that like cameras following me down the hallway, and then like I knock on her door and it's like she's sitting there, and then she opens the door and she's like in her pajamas. Like she took off all of her makeup and she's like eating meatballs. She's got like meatball in her teeth, not expecting anybody to come up. And I'm like, hey, can I talk to you?
She's like, no.
Yeah. No. Like, what? And they sit us down on this couch. And I remember the producer was telling me, he's like, you better tell her this. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell her that. I'm like, I'm not going to tell her that. And then I would sit down on the couch and I was like staring at her, like trying to focus on her. And I was like trying to whisper to her because the cameras were behind me. And I was like, I don't want to be here. They're making me do this. And then they're like yelling at me. They pull me in the hallway. They're like, you better tell her this. And I'm like, and I go
back.
What
is this, the military?
Yeah, Jesus. Pretty much. And I go back in and I was like, yeah, so I just, you know, I don't know why you did this or that. And then I was like, but I'm not saying this. And like I was turning my head and she's like, what is going on? This is so outrageous. And so then whatever, I can't even remember the rest of the conversation. I go back downstairs. The next morning I wake up. And I got Ben Higgins, who's like the best dude in the world. He's in the bed next to me. And I wake up out of sheer panic, like, dude.
What just happened?
I'm like, I think I went up to Caitlin's room last night.
He's like, oh, you did, buddy. Like,
yeah, yeah, pretty much like, oh, yeah, you did. And I'm like.
With cameras and everything.
With cameras and everything. Huh? He's like, yeah. And so I'm panicking big time because I don't remember. Like,
that's where your anxiety started.
Yeah. So I'm freaking out. And then another producer comes and grabs me. And then he's fired up at me. He was so mad that I didn't say what they wanted me to say. And he's like, you better tell her this tonight or we're sending you home. And
you did it.
I was like, yikes.
Yikes.
I was like, at that point, I'm like, where am I right now? Like, I'm like, what did I get myself into? I am so hungover right now. I don't remember anything from last night. And you're telling me if
was
I don't
Caitlin
do this.
Drunk?
Yeah, I'm sure she was drinking. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
But I mean, she laughs about it because she's like, you literally opened the door. But she's like, I was sitting there with meatballs in my teeth. And so the anxiety from that was like, oh yeah, there's going to be about 8 or 10 million people watching this.
Yeah,
it's so
super cash.
Yeah.
Super casual.
That was number two for me. Long story short.
How is that? How is that number two is my question. Like,
yeah.
I'm nervous for your number one. Mm. I don't know if you want me to share my number one. My number one was with you.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right. Next one.
Yep. No, I mean, basically just like we watched the sunrise, I was schmammed. I had come from a 30th birthday party before I met up with you guys. So I was already drinking before I met you. But this is also when I was trying to teach you like any sort of rhythm. I don't know if anybody's ever seen John dance.
But, I got some now. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But this was also the night that we went live on your Instagram and I was singing Britney Spears' Toxic. And when I tell you that people that I have not spoken to since I was in high school were texting me and they're like, hey, do you watch The Bachelor? And I was like, no. I'm like wasted. I'm like, no, why? They're like, any chance you were just on Sean Booth's Instagram live? And I was like, oh, because here's the other thing about just Sean and I's relationship in general is like, there's been plenty of times where he'll be like, well, I don't know. I can't say this or something like overthinking or not overthinking in this case, because he'll be like, no, they'll catch like, I don't saying like, I can't do that or I can't say that. And I'm like, you're not even a big deal. Boom. I open my phone. E! News. Sean Booth says this. And I'm like, fuck, he was right. So that was another situation where I was like, you're fine. We're just Instagramming live. And the people I have not spoken to since 2004 were like, hey, I think I just saw you singing into a Tito's bottle, Britney Spears Toxic. And I was like, oh my God, people do know Sean. But needless to say, I stayed up till like 7 o'clock in the morning. I did not wake up until at least 2 to 3 in the afternoon the next day.
Is that
got myself together.
Is that the night you lost your arm?
Yes, Sean. That's the night I
Let's throw that video up right now. We're going to put that video right
here. No, we are not. No. I have one grandmother who's still alive and I'd rather not kill her. But what Sean's talking about is that I was wearing a leather coat, but the lining in my coat like ripped because I was reckless, like She-Hulk Sammy. And so I was trying to stick my arm through the sleeve, but I couldn't. So I just had a little nub arm and I just rocked with it. Like I was too drunk to figure out how to get my hand through. So I just walked around with a nub arm.
And she couldn't find her arm.
And Sean was like, where's your arm, dude? And I was like, I don't know, it's gone. It was not good, but it was a lot of fun.
35 for that one.
I was, no, that was, you know,
that was a while ago.
That was like 2018, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We were young. We were still going through heartbreak. Remember, we were trying to put ourselves back together. That's
throwing some Band-Aids on everything,
in the shape of Tito's.
And there we go. The number one that I got for you. This is a good one. I've never told this story before, but I'm going to share it right now, right here. There was one night here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh God.
This is when I first moved here, and I was with my buddies. We're supposed to go to a Titans football game. It was preseason or something at the stadium. We started drinking at my buddy's place and we were drinking a lot. And then it started pouring rain and they like canceled the game.
Okay.
Something crazy, some storms. And then we're like, hey, let's go to Broadway. Go to Broadway, hit up a few bars, and then stumble into Tootsie's.
Oy.
Literally stumble into Tootsie's. when I stumbled into Tootsie's, I stumbled into the bouncer.
Oh.
And this was one of those one of those guys who's like,
authority,
oh,
baby.
Here's my opportunity. Yes. So he ended up like grabbing me and throwing me to the ground. And I didn't take that too lightly. So then apparently I grabbed him.
Oh, Jesus. You fought back?
I fought back.
Boys are so stupid.
And this bouncer had a pair of handcuffs on him. And so then he took me to the back alleyway of Tootsie's.
Which smells like death.
And put handcuffs on me and then called the police. And so I'm sitting on the curb outside of Tootsie's with my arms behind my back and handcuffs. My buddies are still there just like filming everything and taking photos.
Not helping at all.
Oh, no, they're loving it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving it. And everybody's just walking by.
Was this before or after you were on the show?
This was before.
Okay. So at least nobody was like looking at you.
No, no.
Just letting you live.
Yeah. Just, yeah. That was like a normal sight on Broadway. Yes.
And oh, this guy.
Then a cop comes, throws me in the back of the thing and throws me in jail for the night.
No questions asked?
No. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of questions asked, but I don't remember them. I couldn't answer them. And then, so then I'm in jail the entire night and I'm literally in like the smallest little cell. And then I'm like sitting there with everybody else who was arrested. And I was like, I am a fucking loser. Like, what am I doing right now? Where am I? And then my buddies and I get out of jail. I mean, I literally stayed up the entire time until like 8 or 9 in the morning. They hand me my belt back. I walk outside. My buddies are just like, you know, cheering and clapping and taking videos of me. And they put me in the car and then we go to brunch. At the tavern and just have mimosas.
I was going to say, start all over again, baby.
Yeah, that's one of those where you don't want to like come to grips with what just happened. And so...
And you can't get hungover if you stay drunk.
Yeah, exactly. So the next day was absolutely brutal. And then I went home and my dad doesn't even know this. Nobody even knows this.
Surprise, Big Steve.
My dad in the guest room where I sleep, he wanted to get himself a souvenir here in Nashville and he got himself a huge poster of Tootsie's bar. Yeah. And so every time I go home and I sleep, and that's right on the wall. And this
a reminder of
where I came from. So yeah, there you go, Dad. That painting has a whole lot more meaning now.
You ruined it for him.
Ruined it.
Nah, I think it adds it. It's extra special.
Those are the old days. The good old days. Some would say the good old days.
New year, new you.
Yeah, that's right. But here we go. We are on to bigger and better things. That's our final four. Sam Cat.
Yes, Johnny.
What's our sign off?
I mean, we talked about it last week. I don't think we have one. It's your show, buddy.
Yeah.
You tell me. I'll go with it.
Go get them.
Team on three.
Team on three. 1, 2, 3, team.
Team.